The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org. So, welcome to Happy Hour. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Diana Clark. And I think probably all of us know this. I'm not saying something that you don't know. But having a sense of belonging or have some connection to others or feeling close to others seems to be like a fundamental human kind of motive or wish or desire. Some of us have it in different degrees, but it's a kind of a basic human thing to want to have some connection to other people. And of course, people like sociologists and perhaps psychologists like to study these things, and they've looked at it and they tell us that not only do humans have this kind of this drive or this motivation to be connected to others, but being connected to others has lots of benefits. Probably we don't need scientists to tell us this. But they can measure less anxiety, less depression, just better emotion regulation and increased empathy with others. And also, there's some correlation between having lots of social connection and living longer. But you also won't be surprised to hear me say that there is this growing social distrust and alienation that's happening through technological changes, economic changes, societal changes. And this, phenomenon of loneliness is growing, right? Lots of different reasons for that. Some of it having to do, just how our communities are built and all kinds of reasons. So given that humans like to be connected and we can even measure benefits from it, is there a way that we can increase the likelihood that A, we will have connection with others, or B, even if we don't have actual connections with others, but that we can somehow have the benefit, that we can feel close to others, we can feel connected, whether or not we're actually spending more time with other people. There's a number of things that we can do to support this sense of connection. An obvious one is volunteer, get involved. Do service in whatever way that makes sense. Maybe it's just something that you do by yourself, but just the act of doing service kind of helps connect you to other people or other organizations or a bigger picture or a bigger cause or something like this. A second thing that we can do to increase social connection is to just take care of ourselves as best we can. When we're under tremendous stress or just physically unwell, mentally unwell, I think all of us have this experience, your world kind of gets smaller and you tend to be a little bit more self-absorbed, self-obsessed as you're trying to heal and trying to find your way through the difficulty. So a second way to kind of help with this sense of having a connection with others is to take care of ourselves, not in a way that harms others or precludes some intimacy or connection with others, but just to pay attention to our lives, pay attention to our health. And then you probably won't be surprised if I say the third reason is some loving kindness meditation. So researchers have shown that even some really brief loving-kindness meditation just increases people's connection with others. And they start to have some benefit. Interestingly, the benefit isn't just because you are in a better mood or something like this. It's more just you view others differently, implicitly and explicitly. So that's what we'll be doing today with a loving-kindness meditation. There's all kinds of benefits to it, but one is to kind of increase our social connection. As I said, not necessarily meaning that we will have more friends and all of a sudden be out being connected to everybody, but we may feel more connected. And then that can start a positive loop. If we feel less lonely, if we feel more connected, then we're more apt to smile at the person, or we're more apt to start a conversation, or, you know, or whatever it might be. And then we start to have more connections. So with loving kindness, there are about three elements to this practice. It can be done in different ways, but I'm going to teach it now with the three elements. The first element is to bring to mind somebody for whom, well, we're going to start with somebody for whom it's easy to feel love towards, easy to feel warmth, care, respect, kindness. Often this is somebody, we use this word benefactor, somebody who has supported you, stood by you, and somebody for whom you have an uncomplicated relationship. Sometimes this means you don't really know that person. They may be a spiritual leader, or they may be a historical person. Somebody that's meaningful for you. The second element is to use kind of the sensations in the body to support us. Sometimes, not all the time, sometimes there can be a softness in the heart, there can be a warmth, a shift somehow. Maybe it's in the belly, maybe it's just a sense of relaxation. So we can use this feeling that comes when we're practicing loving kindness that's in the body, we can use it to support us, to support what's happening in the mind. And then the third element is to repeat the phrases. And we can say these phrases silently in our mind, just as a way to support our intention to be sending kind of like good vibes, warmth, care, love. So very often with mindfulness meditation, you know, we choose an object, and then when the mind wanders, we come back to the object. The mind wanders, we come back to the object. In the same way with loving kindness, that we are using the phrases as a kind of like an object, a home base, a refuge, a place where we can rest our attention and our intention to send loving kindness, to be cultivating, developing loving kindness. And the phrases are a way that we can always come back. It's kind of like a reminder. So I'll be leading us through some guided meditations. So we'll start with the benefactor, or somebody for whom it's easy to feel loving kindness. If you can't think of somebody feels that you just automatically feel this warmth or softness in your heart, then you're welcome to use puppies, kittens, babies, whatever it might do that causes you to smile. And then we're going to build from that and do some loving kindness for ourselves. Then I'm going to add a third element, a little bit about equanimity. And I'll introduce that as we go. So then to begin the meditation, let's take an alert, upright posture. And then I like to begin with, yikes. Did you see that if one of these channels? Okay. Okay. I just don't want you guys to. You can't hear? So there are some hearing assisted devices that may help, but maybe, yeah, so does this, can you hear this? Can you guys hear at the back there? Okay, we'll start over. So we'll take an alert, upright posture. And let's start with three long, slow, deep breaths, just as a way to relax and connect with the body. Perhaps with the exhale, there can be some letting go, some softening. Then allowing the breath to return to normal. And we'll see if we'll just check in with the body first to see if there's some obvious places of holding, some obvious tension that can be softened or let go of. We're not trying to make anything happen here. We're not forcing anything. Just very gently checking in. Often we hold tension around the eyes or the jaw. Sometimes the shoulders. See if you can allow the shoulder blades to slide down the back. Place your attention on your chest, the belly, and the back. You might notice that there's some tension and it just stays there. That's okay. Can you have some ease around there being tension, some tightness? You can feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. Feel grounded. Check in with your legs. Is there any extra tension? Any that doesn't need to be there? Your feet. Feel your feet on the ground. Arms and hands. Then we'll start with a little bit of mindfulness of breathing. That is, you can bring your attention, you can rest your awareness on the sensations of breathing. That might be the movement of the abdomen, the movement of the chest, or maybe feeling the air going in and out of the nose. Just very simply. In a relaxed way, simple way, just keeping our attention on the movement. Chances are that your mind will slip away. Doesn't have to be a problem. Just very gently, very simply, begin again. Put in your attention on the sensations of breathing. It's perfectly natural for the mind to think thoughts and for us to get lost in the stories, but we don't have to. We can come back to the sensations of breathing and not get lost in the stories. And then to begin loving kindness meditation. Before we go there, I'll just say that this practice of mindfulness of the sensations of breathing, you can always come back to this practice. Just very simply resting your attention on the movement of the abdomen or the chest. If emotions come up, if feelings come up that are overwhelming, it might be helpful to come back to this practice. And then to begin loving kindness practice, again, bring to mind somebody or some being for whom it's easy to feel warmth, care, love, respect. You can have an inner smile towards, maybe even an outer smile. So bring this being to mind. And you might check in with the body. Is there a little feeling in the chest or the belly, the heart center? If not, that's perfectly fine, perfectly fine. You might find something there. You might not. And then to help support our intention to cultivate, develop loving kindness, you can repeat the phrases silently in your mind after me, while keeping the lovable being in mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You can check in with the heart center, the belly, or the body in general, and see if there's a warmth, a softness. It may be unremarkable. It may be a small, quiet experience. Or you may not feel this. Can you allow it to get as big as it would like? Again, you're not forcing, you're not making anything happen. This is more an allowing. More of a letting go. See if you can use this sensation, if it's there, to support you in your intentions for loving kindness in any way that makes sense for you. Again, bringing to mind the lovable being. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. I'll be silent here for a little bit so you can practice at your own pace and perhaps using your own phrases, ones that resonate with you and perhaps are meaningful for you. So now we can build on this foundation of any warmth, care, loving kindness that's been cultivated for the benefactor, a lovable being, and to expand, increase, make bigger our loving kindness in such a way that it includes ourselves. Includes ourselves. Extend warmth, care, love to ourselves, which may not be as easy as for a benefactor or lovable being. So now you can bring a sense of yourself to mind. You can do this either by visualizing yourself, either as you are now, or perhaps a younger version of yourself. Even yourself as a toddler, whichever way feels accessible. You can also have a felt sense of yourself sitting here, right now, Feel the pressure of the chair, the cushion against your body. You're here now. And again, we can just drop down into the body, see if there's some softness, warmth, ease. We can use that to support us. We extend the phrases to ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Now we'll extend our loving kindness even further, building on this foundation we're creating. And we'll include somebody that we do have a relationship with, somebody whom we care for deeply, somebody that we sometimes might feel that we want to help and support, find ourselves getting tangled up a little bit. But perhaps they are not a child and know how to take care of themselves, even though we might feel like we want to give advice. Sometimes one way to take care of others is to care for them, see, have them feel seen and heard, love them, and yet recognize that they are individuals and have their own lives, their own paths. So you can bring to mind somebody in your life, family member or coworker, or maybe somebody that you don't have a personal relationship with, but you know about, and you find yourself wishing that they would behave differently. So to cultivate some loving kindness that's also with equanimity, a sense of spaciousness, a sense of balance, a sense of steadiness, we'll modify the phrase to bring this person to mind. Again, you might find that any sense of openness or spaciousness or warmth or ease in your body can support you. And again, this doesn't have to be your dominant experience. It could just be a quiet little sensation. And for this person, we'll say this phrase: I wish you happiness, but cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but cannot make your choices for you. can check in with the body and see if there's a way that you can allow some ease, some openness, spaciousness, warmth, in any way that makes sense to you. And this last little bit of the meditation, I might check in and see, is there a feeling to want to stay with the practice you're doing, or perhaps revisit loving kindness for the lovable being, maybe for yourself, or maybe doing mindfulness of the breathing, whichever feels like the right thing to do, whatever feels like it would be supportive. And then to end this meditation, feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. Yeah, so with the cultivation, the development of loving kindness in this way, kind of a systematic way, a simple practice, including some little equanimity there at the end to help us kind of remind us of what we can do and can't do to influence others, can really support a sense of warmth and openness such that then we're more likely to meet others with kindly eyes. We're more likely to meet others with a little bit warmth in our hearts. And we shouldn't underestimate how powerful this can be, these kind of little shifts in our mindset, or this shift in the way that we view others, the way that we view ourselves. This can help support a whole cascade of positive events and help us find some connection with others, sense of belonging that all of us wish for ourselves and wish for others. So maybe with that, I'll open it up if there's any questions or comments. Maybe you want to comment on how was it to use that last phrase, which was different. I wish you happiness, but cannot make your choices for you. Did you find that helpful, supportive, or was it distracting? How was it to go from a benefactor, lovable being to the self? Or maybe you just have some general questions. I think, Chris, can you wait for the microphone?
So in the last part, when you're talking about, I can't make your decisions for you, but I love you or something like that. My memory's terrible. But I started thinking about my sister, and so I do have those feelings for her where I love her, I want her to be happy, but it seems like she's made a lot of bad decisions. So I hold back my feelings because, I don't know, I don't express my love for her because I see all of the bad decisions. So going through that process, I think, helped me kind of renew that, just a reminder to show her that I do love her constantly, but, and not to judge her for those decisions, but just to, you know, I don't know, it's just a good reminder for me to just to express my love for someone that I do love. Thank you.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm glad you shared that. Because sometimes we can, it's a little bit confusing when we see somebody, we want to shake them. You know, your life would be different if you just did X, Y, or Z. Like, you know, clearly I know what to do. And right? But we love them. They are their own person, right? And it does take for us some steadiness to open our hearts and to love at the same time to recognize, I think your life would unfold differently if you made different choices. Mm-hmm. Kind of hold that uncomfortable feeling and the love at the same time. Hard to do, but it's partly why we practice. Anybody else have a comment?
I think following up on that too is it that statement that you made, which I actually can't remember exactly what it was, but it also reminded me, I don't always know the right thing. Sometimes I think I know the right thing for other people and how things should be done, but it's hard, and it's often hard to step back and allow people to do what they're going to do, but it really, I don't think there's not always right, and it seems sometimes in my mind, well, if this person just did this, then everything would be better, but you can't really know that for sure. So
that's right.
Yeah, that equanimity piece is really important, and it's really a practice just stepping back and allowing people to have their own experience and just loving them anyway.
Yeah, and the part is to step back without disconnecting, without being aloof or something. It's to step back in terms of not being over-involved, but to just, for them to feel our love, feel our presence. Yeah.
Yeah, I like these flee from the Red Hot Chili Peppers once said, all you can do is love people and pray for them. And I just remembered that through my life because I think that there's some truth in that statement.
Mm-hmm. And who knows, maybe with our love that, you know, maybe something can shift. We don't know. But something can shift with us if we open our hearts and love. Yeah. Thank you, Kristen. I think you had a comment.
So Gil has a talk on state of mindfulness where he talks about how you progress. And so do you have... I mean, what about state of how we make a progress on the loving kindness or compassion, and what are they, and what do you do to go through those stages?
Yeah. So classically, there is a real delineated, clear progression. Starts where it's easy. I started us with a benefactor, a lovable being. Hopefully ourselves is on the easy side, not always. And then is to do it for a neutral person, somebody for whom you don't know. And then to do it for somebody whom you dislike, you have some difficulties with. And so then to be able to just love that person the same way you love everybody else, the lovable being and the, we often call the difficult being. So this progression this way, and how you do it is practice. It definitely makes a difference. So just this type of thing. Often the guidance is to start where it's easy, and then when you feel like, yes, it's easy, that it's your heart is wide open, then progress to the next kind of category. Then after, maybe I'll add on, so easy benefactor or self. This is how we're doing it here at IMC. Classically, the self is done first because classically, the understanding was it's easier to love yourself than to love anybody else, but here in the modern West, I'm not sure that's so easy. Go from where it's easy to where it's difficult, and then all beings. And this is quite a meditative attainment, I'd say meditative attainment, to be able to love all beings, to have your heart open and love them all without discrimination. This person as much as that person, as much as that person, as much as anybody. So, was that your question? Like this kind of progression? And so, I'll say also classically, this is taught in a way in which the mind can get really concentrated. The mind can get really quiet. There's something about kind of this repetition of the phrases that kind of allows the mind to really settle down. So in some of those concentration states, it gets a little bit easier and easier to open up the heart and just to radiate loving kindness to all beings. And so some people go on, you know, we'll do extended retreats, weeks, months. I know somebody did a year in silence, just loving kindness meditation. And she came out and said her life was completely different, having just cultivated that quality of the heart so intensely for so long.
So the phrase is a critical part of nobody is there in the future right here, that on your own, you just repeat that phrase on your mind.
Yeah. So often what happens is that people, so I talked about there are three elements in the beginning, the visualization, the feeling in the body, and the phrases. Often all of us will find one of those three is a little bit easier, a little bit more comfortable, we can connect with, we feel like supports our loving kindness the most. So for some people, the phrases feels too busy to find these words. They just want to kind of like abide in loving kindness in some way. So all of us can find our own way. I'm teaching this way with these three elements, and this is a pretty common way, and many people do find that the phrases are supportive. But some people will just set the intention and maybe just play, will like put their hands on their heart and maybe just, in whatever way this makes sense, just to radiate loving kindness. So you can personalize it and find your own way with it. I think many people do the phrases, but not everybody. And of course, as I mentioned, you can change the phrases to something that's meaningful to you. And of course, they don't have to be in English. They can be in any language. Whatever language kind of supports your heart, your inner life. And some people will maybe, out of the four that I offered, will maybe choose one or two that are really meaningful for them and just say those, or just, you know, play around with it. Maybe they say each phrase twice as a way to kind of really sink in, or different ways to kind of explore this. Okay. So, thank you all for being here. And may you experience some equanimity, some warmth and care, and some happiness. Thank you.